Today we want to think on the subject, have you any room for Jesus? We will think about one of the questions asked at Christmas time. At Christmas, it's timing and purpose. And that's what we looked at last time. And today, we're going to look at have you any room for Jesus? And there's a song that's titled that way. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we read, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the songwriter that wrote, have you any room for Jesus, did not base his song, or anyway, I don't think he based his song upon this verse, but it certainly goes along with it. Let's think about this question in our study today. Probably all of us have had special plans for Christmas. In fact, our calendar was probably filled nearly every day. We had a tight schedule to keep and many things to get done in preparation for Christmas activities. But let's ask ourselves this very important question. Have we any room for Jesus? Let's think of that question for this Christmas season and for our life in general. First of all, do we have room for him in our personal and career life? Do we have room for Jesus in our everyday personal lives or in our career lives? Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 31, we read this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. The angel Gabriel announced God's plan for her, not only for her first Christmas, but for her life. You will give birth to the child that has been promised from the very beginning. This one that's the Messiah, that's the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. Mary, will you change your plans for your life and accept God's plan? The plan I have for you and for the whole world. Now notice what Mary's answer was in Luke 1 verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. How about us? Have we planned our own life, our future, or have we accepted God's plan for our life? Regardless of what it might involve, we need to accept God's plan for our life. And do we have room for the Lord in our family and social life? Do we have room for Jesus in family and social life? Think of Joseph, the husband of Mary. We look back in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 21, and we read this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, thy wife, for they were in what we would call engaged. They weren't actually married yet. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The angel said to Joseph, don't be afraid to make room for Jesus in your life. Accept my will and take Mary to be your wife. Don't worry about what people will think or say. Now notice what Joseph's response was in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, or took Mary to be his wife. Yes, it's as if he said, yes, I accept God's will and plan. I will not be afraid of what others will think or say or do to me or the reputation I will have. Mary shall be my wife, and the baby's name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, how about us? Is our family and social life based upon God's will and plan, or totally upon what we want or think, or what others do or say or think? We need to put Jesus first in that for our family life. And then how about our business life? Do we have room for Jesus in our business life? Notice in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Now notice, because there was no room for them in the inn. Do we have room for Jesus in our business life? The innkeeper informed Joseph that he had no vacancy in his inn. There was no room. After Joseph explained Mary's condition and need, the innkeeper answered, I'll compromise. I guess you can use the stable to stay in. No sacrifice was made. No allowance for an emergency was made. Only a place among the animals was good enough for the coming Christ. We live in a day when integrity in business is becoming more and more rare. People think of themselves, their wants, their desires. They think of money, how much money they can make. There must be room for Jesus in our business or business dealings. He must have first place. Honesty, integrity must be the order of our lives. And then fourth, he must have first place in our vocational life. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 through 14, we read, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Now the shepherds were doing their daily vocational job, tending their flock of sheep, when the angel appeared unto them and said, "The Savior is born. Go now and see him. Make room in your responsibilities to see him. Readjust your schedule and your job. Make room for Jesus." And the response, notice in verses 15 and 16 of Luke 2. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." Do we get so involved, so tied up in our work that Jesus has little room or no room? The shepherds made time to be with him and worship him, and so should we. Notice also in Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They not only spent time with him, but they told others about him. And we ought to also. And then do we have time for him in our political and community life? In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read, "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men took time, much time. It was a long distance, and Jesus was not a baby anymore. He was probably about 2 years old, but they took the time in order that they might come and see and worship the Christ child. They came to King Herod to find out where they might find him. And notice King Herod's response after finding out where he was to be born from the chief priests and scribes. And in Matthew 2, verse 8, we read, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Was he truly making room for Jesus? Well, notice verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, because Jerusalem was troubled also, because they knew how wicked King Herod was. He was troubled because he saw Jesus only as a threat to the throne. He wasn't interested in worshiping Jesus, in following his standards or his principles. He was king, and no one else would influence him in any way. So when the wise men did not return to tell him where Jesus was, he was angry and determined to find and kill Jesus at any cost. And notice verse 16. When he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, the reason he killed all the children that he could find was because he wanted to make sure that he killed the Christ child. And so that's why he killed so many children. Now, we have the freedom to vote for our political leaders and inform them concerning our desires when important decisions are to be made. We not only need godly political leaders, but we also need to pray for them and to seek to influence them to make godly decisions. And then, have we made room for him in our worship? Notice in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And then notice verse 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, these wise men were not common people. They were scholars. They were wise. They were well-informed men. They were not content to just have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus, that Jesus had been born. As we already saw, they made great sacrifice and effort to come and worship him. And then when they found him, they presented costly and meaningful gifts. Meaningful because each gift was very symbolic. Gold pictured his deity. Frankincense pictured his high priestly ministry. And myrrh pictured his death, or looked forward to when Jesus would die on the cross. Now, how about our worship? Is it just a meaningless form, or is it filled with love and giving and meaning? Is it filled with love and adoration? Now, have we made time for the Lord in our daily walk with God? Turn back to Luke chapter 2, and we see a man named Simeon. And in Luke 2, beginning with verse 25, 2:30, we read this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit, or led by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Now Simeon was justified. He was devoted to God. He was looking for the coming of the Christ. The first time, of course. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and living in close communion with God. And he was led daily by the Holy Spirit, and he was ready to go to heaven because he had made room in his life for the Lord Jesus. And then we see the example of Anna in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 36 to 38. Luke 2, 36 to 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And after she was a widow of about 84 years, or 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, she loved God's house and spent much time worshiping and praying. She lived in close communion with God and knew when she saw him that he was the Savior, and gave thanks to God for him. Now, going back, Mary and Joseph constantly obeyed God's will. They regularly went to the temple to sacrifice and worship, and faithfully took Jesus with them. What about us? Do we daily make room for Jesus in every area of our life? Are we faithful in God's house to worship him like Mary and Joseph were? Notice in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with me, with him, and he with me, or in other words, have fellowship with him. Now there it's referring to salvation, but we can apply that to every area of our life. Jesus wants us to make room for him in every area, and we need to. It's very important that Jesus Christ has first place in our life. And no matter what area of life it is, We make room for Jesus and put Him first. That needs to be true in each of our lives. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that He came to this earth. Lord, I pray that each of us would make room for Jesus in every area of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.